Hi, it's the June edition of The Work Show, and this month we're going to be looking at teachers and the work of education.
Those schoolgirl days of telling tales and biting nails are gone, but in my mind, I know they you from crayons to perfume. It isn't easy, but I'll try. If you wanted the sky, I would ride across the sky in letters that would soar 1,000 feet high to serve.
We caught up with first grade teacher Mary Rogers on a recent Saturday at the end of one of the Little League games that she was coaching.
I'm a first grade elementary teacher at Caro Elementary in Caro, New York.
And how long have you been teaching there?
This is my fourth year with the district. So in those 4 years, I've taught fifth grade, I've taught kindergarten, and I've taught first grade.
And is this your first teaching job, or have you...
Yeah. No, I actually got my job right out of student teaching, so it's the only district I've ever worked for.
Okay. And are you from here originally?
I'm from across the river in Germantown.
So now, when did you first decide you wanted to be a teacher?
That's a good question. I originally wanted to be an occupational therapist, and then I was going to school in Massachusetts, and they had a really good elementary ed program. So I decided to switch, and then I ended up coming back to New York and finishing my degree at New Paltz and getting my master's there. Well, this this time of year is very hectic. There's a lot of end of the year things going on at the school. Budget season just got over, so there's a lot of late nights going to meetings, school board meetings. I obviously coach baseball, and that takes up a lot of time. So it's just kind of a very hectic winter, is more mellow, and then March hits, and it's like crazy madness between the end of the year, trying to get the kids ready, meetings, coaching, just a little bit of everything. This is the first year I haven't been working on my master's. I finished it, So that's one less thing, but in the previous years, it was trying to help coach and do everything with work, and then, you know, drive to New Paltz sometimes two nights a week and on weekends working on my master's. So I think you have to just sort of balance. Like last year I didn't help coach as much because I wasn't here as much.
Mm-hmm.
But this year I was able to help Chris a lot more.
And then what are your plans come the summer?
This is the first year that I'm not taking summer classes. So I'm looking forward to maybe just, you know, enjoying my son and having a relaxed summer. We're going to go on vacation this year. We have the time to do it. I still tutor, so I'll be tutoring this summer and just trying to keep busy, you know, working. I might work with my dad a little bit. He owns a company in Germantown, and just helping him a little. Just spending time with my family. Looking forward to a little rest and relaxation. Not that it's relaxing between sports and this and that, but it'll be nice not to have to get up in the morning.
How does your usual workday work as a first grade teacher?
Okay. Well, I get up, get ready, get Eddie on the bus, go to work. I'm there usually like an hour early, get everything set up for the kids. They come in, we do some morning work, then we do about an hour of language arts, followed by like a center time, which are small group activities. Kids go to recess, they go to lunch. Then we do some math, usually some science. My kids really like science. They really like the hands-on. We just made, yesterday we actually made solar ovens. Mm-hmm. And the kids on Monday were going to make s'mores outside because it's supposed to be a hot day. So they're really looking forward to that. It depends on your kids. My kids really like projects. They're very project-based. They're very kinesthetic. So I try and incorporate that as much as I can. And then they go home. But even, you know, teachers' lunches and everything, we're running here and running there. And so you're pretty much on the go all day.
And then how much, where, in the evenings, are you doing prep and...
Yes, well, grading? I always get there an hour early to try and just reset everything. But, yeah, you're working on assessments. I always bring stuff home with me. Weekends, I'm, you know, looking at papers and going through homework and trying to, you know, plan all my lessons. I try and stay at least a week to 2 weeks ahead. I co-teach with another teacher, so we have to co-plan, which takes a lot of time. We're always meeting during specials, during lunch and after school, in the morning to try and, you know, plan our activities together, because it's not just me. It's also her, which is wonderful. I love working with her, but, you know, it does take extra time.
And then what has been the difference between the different grades that you've taught?
Well, I think that fifth grade is, there's a difference in the sense of what you're teaching, but I think that it doesn't matter what grade you're teaching, you have to adjust to your population, to your group of children, and whatever's best for them, that's what you do. I have had four different groups of kids. I can say this year I'm much more project-based. In previous years, I've done other things because that's what worked best for my kids. So I think it's just, it changes. You can't just do one thing. You have to figure out how your kids learn best, and then you have to adjust to that.
What are the different skill sets that come into play as a teacher then?
Well, kindergarten and first grade, it's really your foundation. It's your, you know, letters. It's your sight words. It's your reading. That's when they really learn how to read. That's when you set the foundation for everything else. Fifth grade, you're getting them ready for middle school. So you're trying to really work on independence, and you're trying to really work on what they're going to be doing in middle school. You're always trying to look ahead and say, okay, what are they going to have to do next year? How am I going to get them ready for next year? Because that way, when they get into that grade, you don't go through the whole frustration. They know the expectations, they know, you know, what they need to do, and they're ready. I think at any grade level, number one is getting these kids independent and just making sure if you're teaching something, you're teaching it thoroughly and making sure that they understand it before you're moving on.
And how is it just dealing with that many little personalities in a room?
We have a lot of fun. We laugh a lot. I think that especially the younger grades, you're a performer. They love it when you're silly and, you know, when you act like a kid sometimes and you just have a lot of fun. They really like that, but you have to maintain structure. You have to keep everything. This is what we're doing at this time. If you preset them and they know what they're doing, your day runs a lot smoother. And I think you just, as things arise, you just deal with it. Always remain calm. Whatever's happening, just remain calm. And, you know, if you don't remain calm, that's when things get a little chaotic. But just, you know, keeping yourself, keeping control over yourself, and your mood really affects the kids. So however you are, that goes off on them. I think that's the biggest thing. I think I'm the same person, whether I'm teaching or whether I'm at home dealing with, you know, with my own child. I think that being a teacher helps me understand what's going on in his school life a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I'm sensitive to it because I understand what goes on in a classroom. So if he comes home and says, Mom, I was on yellow today, we talk about it. Well, why were you on yellow? Well, you know, the teacher said not to do this, and I did that. I said, well, if the teacher said not to do that, then you need to listen to her. So I think it helps me be a better mom. I think being a mom of a first grader and teaching first grade helped me be a better first grade teacher. So I think they go hand in hand. I've been very lucky. I taught kindergarten when my son was in kindergarten. I'm teaching first grade when my son is in first grade. So I get to see it from both angles, and I think it just helps me across the board, home life and school life.
Do you have any teachers that you remember that were kind of inspiring from when you were growing up?
Oh, wow. Good question. I think more high school. Mm-hmm. Than anything else. I had an excellent high school English teacher, Elizabeth Paisley, and she, I believe, still works at the high school I went to, which was Coleman in Kingston, John A. Coleman. And she taught me work hard, and I think that I went into a lot of teaching reading and writing because she was such a good teacher, and she just made me love it. I think I had good teachers, but my high school teachers are a little bit more memorable.
Now, what's your view of all this, you know, the last few years is, you know, suddenly teachers were kind of being attacked, and it's very odd watching it. You know, how did that affect you, or what's your thoughts on?
I think there's a lot of misperception about how unions and teachers operate. Teachers in districts that have unions are required to pay dues. We're required to be part of unions, but we don't really have as much say. It does make me angry when people start talking about teachers, but it's really a union thing because there are a lot of great teachers out there, and you know, we go to work, we try our hardest, we do our best. I think that there's been a big shift towards like state assessments, and I think that everyone needs to look at what's expected of these kids and understand that, you know, there are kids that are, you know, just developmentally not ready for certain things, and we need to start really looking at our kids and saying what's best for them. You know, I feel confident in what I do every day, and I don't let all of that get to me. I just kind of go to work every day, I do my job, and I don't let it get to me, because if you let it get to you, then you start to get angry, and then you start to get bitter, and I'm not that person.
Do you find there's bitterness in the teaching community, or?
I've only worked in, you know, one school district, I can only comment on mine. I think we work really well together. I think in our elementary school and Durham Elementary, where I've also taught, I think everyone is a team. And we are a team to the end, and I personally have had a great experience, never had an issue with a fellow teacher. I think we're all there for the kids, and that's what we have to focus on. Our district is doing a lot of, let's get our teachers together, let's, you know, really get to know each other. And it's forcing us to create relationships, which I think is a really positive thing. We have great administrators. They really put a lot of focus and emphasis on not only teachers coming together, but also just on the overall teacher health. We've had a lot of positive things happening this year. We've had stress management classes. We've had a lot of outings with just teachers. We've had people coming in and just doing how do we stay a team? How do we stay a group? How do we stick together no matter what? How do we always have respect for each other and teach these kids through our example and model for them what respect is, what responsibility is? You know, I think that's great. I think more districts should do that, because I think when you have a united front, you have a united staff, I think it's good for everyone involved. It's good for administrators. It's good for teachers. It's great for the kids, and they're number one. At the end of the day, the kids are what matter, and you do what you need to do for them.
Mm-hmm. As an educator, I guess you have to stay educated. Is that one of the reasons that pulled you into this field? I mean, because there are a lot of fields where people just kind of learn one thing and then...
Right. I like to learn. I think I'm always learning. I think that if I could go back, I'd probably be a researcher. I love research. I love to get an idea in my head and then research about it and prove it. I think it's helped me being a teacher and working on my master's at the same time, because it's kept me very current. And once that ends, it's your responsibility to be a lifelong learner. It's your responsibility to keep up on what's going on in the education world. There's been a lot of changes. We're doing national core curriculum now. Our standards are not state to state anymore. They're national. Mm-hmm. So you have to know, and it's your responsibility to know. If there's something that your kids are required to learn, you need to make sure that you look through your curriculum, you work with your team. My first grade team is wonderful. We sit down, what do we need to do? You know, these are the requirements. If we need to skip this lesson and do this lesson because those are the requirements, then that is what we do.
And what is your sense of all the different requirements at this point? We went through the period of No Child Left Behind,
right.
And now it's
Race
to the Top.
Right.
Are they just taglines, or do they really affect the classroom?
I think there have been a lot of changes. I think we need a little more consistency with whatever we're doing. It seems like, you know, our country's administration changes, and then we change how we do things, which isn't good for the kids. I think at the end of the day, in most school districts, of course, you know, I can only speak to mine, the administrators know what's going on in our school districts. They know our demographics, because demographics are different in every mm-hmm. single school district, and they know what's best for our demographic. I think administrators need to be given a little more leeway and try and do what's best for our kids, and I think they do absolutely try and do their best. I think there's a lot going on right now. I think that it's changed since I've been there 4 years. I feel like we've had so many different changes. And my big thing is state tests. We need to look at them. We need to say, hey, what are we really expecting these kids to do? What's important? Is it important that they can sit down and do a test, or is it important that they know the material? So I think that it's going to continue to change. We have to adjust. Administrators mm-hmm. have to adjust. Teachers have to adjust. We have to do what our government tells us to do, and we do it to the best of our abilities. We go in every day, but people need to understand there's a lot of professional development that goes into it. There's a lot of just personal time. Core curriculum. I'm on the website. I'm looking up, what do I have to do, you know? I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it than people think. We don't work from 9 to 3:45 because those are our hours. Where I'm there an hour early, I bring stuff home with me. You know, I'm working after school. We're constantly planning and meeting, and we've got weekly meetings with our team, and, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And you're working with other people. Mm-hmm. You have to maintain that respect. You have to be flexible. You have to be willing to compromise. There's a lot more that goes into teaching than just going in and saying, okay, we're going to do reading, or okay, it's math time. There's a lot more that goes into it. And, you know, I think that sometimes that gets lost in translation when we're making all these changes, that it does affect teachers, it affects kids, especially when you're doing a lot of curriculum changes, because a kid might learn something in first grade, but now it's suddenly second grade material and they go through it again. Well, is that good for them to learn it again when they've learned it, or can we move them on? So that's pretty much, you know, my view on it.
How are they when they come into first grade? Are they scared? Or are they?
No.
Milo's about
gosh.
To come into first
They're so
grade.
Excited. Kids when they're little, I mean, they're sponges. They're excited about life. They just, you know, everything's so much fun. That's why I said before, like, you are a performer. They learn when you show them that it's great to have fun. You make something fun, and they just eat it up. They love it. Of course, at the same time, you always have to maintain that structure. You have to let them know, okay, these are the rules, these are expectations, but we can have fun while we do all of this, and just maintain that. Always stick to it. This is what it is, but at the same time, just, you know, teach them that life is joyful. Life is fun. You know, it's important to have fun, and school's not just about reading and writing. There's a lot of social things that go into school. You know, this is where kids learn how to tie their shoes. This is where kids learn, you know, just social. Some kids, this is where they learn manners. So you have to remember all these things. You have to remember where these kids come from. You have to, you know, just do your best to give them a wonderful experience while making sure that they are doing everything that they need to do to get ready for the next grade. And I think the biggest thing is making sure when you have those kids that are already ready, you need to find ways to challenge them. Because you don't want them to just be sitting there, because that's when they're bored. And you do not want any kids being bored. You want to challenge them. Okay, well, what can I do to really make them use their brains? That's why I like project-based learning. I like inquiry-based learning, because it's just tapping into their interests and what do they like to do. If you can find that, you can motivate them.
Lynn Sefner has been helping high school students find their way towards college and careers for 16 years now with Questar, serving both Columbia and Greene counties as well as Rensselaer. She spoke to us recently about some of the new programs that Questar has undertaken to change its reputation within the working community and some of the challenges facing students looking for work these days.
Hello, my name is Lynn Sefner. I'm a career development specialist with Questar 3 at the Columbia Greene Educational Center in Hudson.
And how long have you been here?
I've been with Questar for 17 years.
And it, how did it get named Questar and not BOCES? Or that's just a background thing.
It is a BOCES for Rensselaer, Columbia, and Greene counties. But in 1994, they wanted to look for a name that better represented how wonderfully the students do here at our school. So Questar is from our quest for excellence. The stars are the staff and students, and the three is for the three counties that we serve. Well, I used to be a professional fundraiser for a hospital, for a historical society, and then I have a master's degree in career life development from the College of New Rochelle, and I moved upstate and took a civil service test and was very, very fortunate to end up at Questar 3.
What's entailed in your job here at Questar?
As a career development specialist, it's working with students on a variety of subjects such as workplace behaviors, how you deal with workplace and ethics. Also, I'm the person that meets with students when they are in 10th grade to talk about the programs, invite them in for tours. I also do presentations to middle school students about new and future careers, and I'm the advisor for the National Technical Honor Society chapter here. I'm the chair of the scholarship committee, so it's a wide variety of helping students with our focus, which is career and college readiness. Well, the first thing to talk about is that we are very different from what used to be VOTEC when many of us went to school. This is now career technical education, and that is to reflect a number of things. One, the increased academics that we have in all of our programs. Also, all of our programs have college articulations and professional certifications, so there's a lot more opportunities for students to leave, either going directly into employment or to go to college. Most of our programs are 2 years for 11th and 12th graders, but we do have a couple of new programs this year especially. We have Health and Emergency Medical Services, which is for students who are looking to be in healthcare, and they might want to be a paramedic, EMT, go on into the healthcare field. We also have Green Technologies and Renewable Energy. That's for students who are interested in going to the very exciting field of whether it's solar energy, wind energy. Those students end up with some college credits from Hudson Valley Community College in electricity. So we do have a couple of programs that are reflecting the new push now for what's known as STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and math. For a number of years, we've had a program, Mechanical Technology, which is for students who are interested in pre-engineering, computer-aided drafting. But also, all the programs now have to work together to incorporate technology, to incorporate science into their programs, because that's the careers of the future.
And so the skill sets are much more complex than they used to be.
There are what they look for, as they call 21st century skills, which are things like problem solving, using technology, creative and critical thinking. But there's also some, for me, classic career skills. The young ladies who are students talked about hard work pays off, being punctual, being reliable. You can be the most brilliant engineer, but if you don't show up to work, you're not going to be helpful to your organization. But there certainly is an increased need in this area, especially with a lot of the Tech Valley, to have people focus on science and math.
And are you doing, is there a lot of work with the local business community, you know, in terms of mentoring programs or people coming in and helping out? I know at Ulster BOCES there's been a lot of outreach.
We do, are very fortunate. We have in a variety of ways. One is that we have all students will leave with a professional portfolio, which includes things like a professional resume, sample cover letter. We work with the Green and Columbia County Chambers of Commerce and Economic Development. They will actually be, professionals will come in and judge the portfolios and grade them for students. We also have consulting committees. We have had them for years where we have people from the community will come in and meet and work together with criminal justice and aviation and HVAC to say, how can we make these programs more related to the work field and more related to employment. And all of our students also have work-based learning opportunities, which means that we also have work-based learning. Our coordinator, Mary Andrus, works with students on the job internship experiences. Some of those could be, for example, our construction class has gone 2 years and worked at a Habitat for Humanity house in Hudson. Our welding students work to create a training opportunity. They fixed something for a local fire department, so they could use that for training. Our HVAC class has worked putting in the heating system for the Columbia County Board of Realtors and Habitat for Humanity. So all of our students have opportunities as a senior for an internship, and also we have guest speakers come in. Our criminal justice class just had the people from the TV show Manhunters, the U.S. Marshals. So we do a lot of work connecting with the local business community so our students can leave and have confidence in their skill set and have some real life on the job experiences.
And what about the attitudes? It was mentioned,
The old attitudes have been changing, and that's part of what we're trying to do, is for people to understand that this is not the VOTEC that it used to be. Every class has college articulations. Every class has a professional certification. For example, construction, and our HVAC classes have a heat certification for home energy analysts, Cisco certifications in our AIT, IT classes. So it is a very different world. We have integrated English, math, and science in all of our programs. So students will study those subjects related to something they're doing. The math is going to be different in aviation than it might be in the mechanical technology or cosmetology class. But I think what we'd like people to understand is we're also with a program called Tech Centers That Work, where we have been working since 2000 to improve the academics in our building and to improve the experiences, like having a professional portfolio, like having a National Technical Honor Society and having students achieve high standards, like being able to present scholarships to our students, because well over half of our students in the year after they graduate are in college or a technical school, most of them related to what they're studying. So our students are going to places like the Culinary Institute, Johnson in Wales, the local community colleges, and what's really important for us is to make sure that they are ready for those college experiences, that they have the increased math and science, because for many students, as you might hear in the media now, they might go to college and they're not academically ready and they end up spending time and money in a remedial course. So it is very different than when it was VOTEC from 20, 30, or 40 years ago. It is really a focus on high-tech, high-wage, high-school job opportunities for our students.
Do students know what they're going into? Do they have to know exactly what they're going into when they come into Questar, or is that something that, you help them discover?
The first part of the process for students who are interested in Questar 3 is that I visit their school with some teachers and with some students who are currently in the school and speak to students in the 10th grade. Then those students and their parents, all students and their parents in 9th, 10th, 11th grade are invited to an open house we have in February. So we feel it's really important to get parent involvement in the decision on whether or not they want to spend a half a day here. So we have the open house night, and then students will go through an intake process where they'll meet with their school guidance counselors. They will need to complete an application which has questions, because we find what's really important is for them to have an interest in this career field. So when students arrive here, they are arriving in a program that they have high interest in. Also, their home schools might look at things like, how has their attendance been? Have they completed all the academics they need to before they arrive here? Something really to emphasize too, our students are achieving a Regents Diploma, and some students also will get an additional certification, which is a career technical endorsement on their diploma. This year on May 1st, we had a career expo, which we worked together with the Tech Valley Pathways Consortium, which is a consortium of BOCES and community colleges, and also with Greenville, Ichabod Crane, and Scodak schools to have, this was for students 7th through 12th grade and parents. It was an evening where we had over 36 careers represented: microbiology, nanotechnology, video gaming. We had presentations including people from Global Foundries and Sundog Solaqua, which is local solar energy. So students and their parents can see demonstrations and find out what are some of the nanotechnology, biotechnology, what are some of these great careers in science and math. We also, through the Tech Valley Pathways Consortium, have worked to have a variety of summer camps, which is actually free of charge to students. And one of them new this year is the Homegrown Challenge, and it is for focusing on students in agriculture and to learn about marketing and how they will, it'll be kind of like a competition where students will work together on marketing and arranging something, and it'll be about the field with agriculture. And that is actually a collaborative effort. We're working with Cornell Cooperative Extension, who have been great partners on that. So there's information about that and all of our programs on our website.
The idea of summer jobs and how hard it's come to get those. And it, you know, there was a time when kids would learn about, or you would learn about the workplace by taking summer jobs and part-time jobs during the school year. Do you think that's ever going to return, or because of liability and other, the entry point into the job force, is that growing older and later at this point, which increases the need for programs like this?
It's definitely growing older. I think that's a combination perhaps of liability but also of the economy for the past couple of years. So there are a lot of places where students with a working card could start at 14 or 15 or 16, and now those places are saying, no, we want an 18-year-old. As Amanda had said, when she turned 18, there were a lot of job offers. I think more for students locally, if they are younger students, Some of them might work on a farm. They might do the classic babysitting or yard work or something like snow shoveling, and I think that's taking some initiative. For one thing that's really important for any age and for students also is it really is to do networking, is for students to ask their parents and their parents' friends or grandma or grandpa, is there some place that you know I can work? And those are connections that will help people get in. They're also through the Workforce Investment Office. Some students will qualify for the Summer Youth Employment Program. That is, though, for students 16 through 18 years old. And you can contact the Workforce Investment Office at the college about that. I think it's very easy for when people are worried about the economy to look around and say, how are people using their funds, whatever school they're in? And I think what's wonderful is that said we can point to our students leaving and really being focused on careers and also having the preparation for careers, whether it's a professional certification or the confidence because they've tried something out. Also, there are students from our programs that might leave and go into a different field, but they are leaving with confidence in knowing about a certain career skills, also in knowing that they have a professional portfolio when they leave, and I think all of that gives them a certain confidence when they go into the workplace. I think it's realistic to look at how do we spend money, and we're very conscious here of what our money is used for.
Do you see what's being done at Questar and the whole BOCES system being mainstreamed more into the kind of central thread of education or secondary education, so that instead of it being an adjunct or its own thing, that it becomes part of the main curriculum, some of the aspects that you all are teaching and working with here?
I think that we are very fortunate that we have close relationships with, for example, the school counselors at our schools, and there is a lot of the origin of a BOCES is pooling your resources to provide the best education possible in the best economic way. And so we do work with the schools because our students aren't, as you're saying, they're not separate students anymore. They are students who need to complete their Regents so they can get their Regents diploma. Mm-hmm. So we are working very closely, as always, with the school counselors and with the administrators of other schools to make sure we're offering programs that are of interest to the students and that we can work together. For example, a student is planning to go to college. How can we all work together to make that happen?
And then just on a personal level, how fulfilling does this all feel at this point?
It is wonderful. It really is, for me, a dream to be in this type of career because I so enjoy working with the students here and the staff, but every year there are students who bring different excitement, different ideas to our school, and it is really a wonderful opportunity. In my position is that I'm meeting them when they're in 9th and 10th grade, and now even earlier I'm meeting with middle school students and see students and open up their minds to different careers, and then to see them as students like the ones like Amanda Repko and Nicole Wilcox to go in the process from when they come here at the beginning of 11th grade and then when they graduate from here, to see their maturity and to see all of their accomplishments is really very exciting. So it's a wonderful place to be.
They offered me, the office offered me the shop. Said I better take everything they got. Do you want to make tea at the BBC? Do you want to be, do you really want to be a cop? Career opportunities are ones that never knock. Every job they offer used to keep you at the dock. Career opportunities are ones that never knock. Opportunities are ones.
opportunities are ones that never knock.
Oi!
Bus driver, ambulance man, ticket inspector, I don't understand. They're gonna have to introduce conscription. They're gonna have to take away my prescription. If they want to get me making toys, if they want to get me, I got no choice. Career opportunities, the ones that never knock. Every job they offer is to keep you out the dock. Career opportunities, the ones that never knock. Careers, careers, career opportunities, the ones that never knock.
Oh no.
Amanda Repko of Germantown High School and Nicole Wilcox of Taconic Hills High School have both been taking culinary arts classes at Questar in Hudson for the last 2 years. They are now preparing to graduate and move on to college and are very excited about the workaday world ahead of them.
I'm Nicole, and I'm a senior.
And where are you from?
Taconic Hills, and I live right in Philmont.
And
I am Amanda Repko. I am in my second year of culinary arts at Questar, and I go to Germantown High School.
And what do you have any primary thing that you're studying here?
Culinary.
Both culinary.
Yeah.
And when did you start? How did you get into the culinary program, or at what point did you start coming here?
We come here in 11th grade. The people come to our school and they talk to you about Questar and they talk to you about the opportunities that it offers you. I just thought it was interesting.
And the same with you?
Well, I've always had an interest in culinary. My grandparents used to own a restaurant, so it's kind of in my blood. And so Questar just seemed like the perfect place to, you know, continue learning about culinary.
And being a senior, what are your plans for next year?
I'm going to SUNY Cobleskill for their culinary program.
Okay, and what year are you now?
I'm a senior. After I graduate, I'm attending the Culinary Institute of America Culinary Arts Management.
And Cobleskill's a great school, too. So what have you been picking up through the culinary program here?
Well, Chef Desmond has a lot of experience. That's our teacher. And he's been teaching us, like, real-life experience when we do banquets. We take field trips. It's a lot of, like, about hospitality. We've had competitions where it gets you a lot of real-life experience, too.
Do you each have summer jobs?
Yeah, well, I have a job. And I don't know, it was in the newspaper. So I just applied for it and got it.
What's the job?
I work in a healthcare facility as a diet aide.
And is this a field that, I mean...
I'm a cashier at ShopRite.
Okay. And how long have you each had the jobs that you have?
About 3 or 4 months.
About the same.
Okay. Are there summer jobs out there, or is it just like an extra job that you try to get earlier? Or what's the situation for people your age finding work?
I think it's more difficult for kids under the age of 18 to get a job. I was applying quite a bit before I turned 18 and got no response. The day I turned 18, I put job applications out and got 3 interviews. So I think it's definitely about age. I don't think they want to hire many minors anymore. So.
Give me a little bit of your working history. What was the first job that you had?
This is like the second job that I've had.
What was the first?
I worked in a kitchen at a restaurant in Philmont. And I did like little prep for them. I would prep their pancake mix or their waffle mix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was my first job too. Before that, I've just done a lot of volunteer work.
I don't have like an allowance for chores or anything. Like, I have to work for my money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I get money.
I come from a big family. So basically you have to, you know, work as hard as you can. And then with the things that you do, then that's reflected in like how much money you get for like chores and allowances and stuff. I know friends of mine, I mean, they have signs up all over Hudson and Germantown, like yard work and things like that, and they haven't gotten any responses yet.
There's a lot of places that are hiring, but they don't want to hire, like, younger people. Like, they want people who are going to be a little more responsible.
And I think having your license is a big thing, too. Mm-hmm. They want licenses and they want experience and stuff like that.
So what are your kind of plans for your own working futures? What's your dream at this point?
Well, after I graduate from the Culinary Institute of America, I want to own my own camp for overweight children. So hopefully I can use my culinary skills for that.
I want to own a bakery.
Any place in particular? Or?
I don't know yet. I gotta look at places.
So baking's your favorite thing?
Yeah. I just made cheesecake in the classroom.
And what are you picking up from here from Questar that's kind of adding to your sense of education?
Hard work pays off. That's for sure. That's the number one thing I've learned this year, because it's a two-year program, and I've been working my hardest since last year, and your senior year you get quite a few rewards for it. So I think hard work is the most important thing.
I definitely agree with that.
And then from the rest of school, what are some of the things that you're finding are most valuable as you're moving forward?
Well, with Questar, it's a bunch of different kids from different schools, so I think getting along with them and, like, learning how to communicate with kids you've never even met before, like meeting new people and things like that, I've definitely learned how to do that.
You learn, like, how to deal with people, too.
Tolerate people.
You learn that you're not going to like everybody that you work with, but you got to do what you got to do.
It's realistic.
And now, explain how the day works with Questar. Are you here all day, or are you back at your home school for a good portion of the day, and then you come in, or?
Well, I drive here in the morning, and I'm here until 10:45 in the morning, and then I finish my studies back at Germantown. So I have like 3 or 4 classes at Germantown too.
Yeah, that's what I do, because I live closer to here than I do to my school, so I just drive here in the morning and then go back to my school and finish the rest of my day there.
Are you feeling prepared at this point for college?
Yeah. I'm more prepared for college than I think I would have been if I just had Germantown, like no Questar at all. I'm much more prepared that I took Questar.
I feel like Questar, like, prepares us more than our home schools do. Mm-hmm. I mean, they try to prepare us, but I don't know, it seems like people just don't really listen. And I feel like here, like, people communicate and they relate to everything.
Plus it's what you love doing, so that makes it even easier to learn, and then you create careers out of it. So.
And before, I mean, as you were growing up and earlier in school, what was your view of Questar?
Well, I wasn't honestly very sure what it was until I got to middle of 9th grade when my brother came for auto mechanics, and he loved it. And he told me that there was a culinary program, and automatically that sparked my interest. So I wanted to find out more about it.
Well, I wanted to come here, and I told one of my teachers, and they told me that they didn't understand why I wanted to come here, because I had a chance in my life. And I just was like, I didn't really understand why. And I don't know. I don't understand. Like, I guess Questar used to have a bad reputation, but I think it's a lot better because people are realizing that it is a really good school.
Yeah, it's they have incredible programs. It's just sometimes it doesn't have that good of a reputation, but it's a great school.
We had to come up with who we were going to sell to. We had to come up with what our background was for the restaurant. We had to come up with everything, almost like we were actually creating a restaurant, hypothetically. And our idea was Spuds. It was an Irish restaurant, and it was focused around potatoes because of the potato famine in Ireland. Uh-huh. So... And because, like, potatoes are so, like, versatile, they can go with anything. So on every dish on the menu, there was some kind of potato with it.
And this was a team effort?
Yeah, there was four of us on the team, and one of them was an alternate in case something happened, but she definitely helped us. And we ended up coming in third place in the competition, and we all got $5,500 in scholarships from different schools.
Wow.
It was a really, really good opportunity.
Team leader. Did you do a similar?
It was the same competition, Pro Start. I was back of the house, which is the cooking culinary part. We had 1 hour to make a 3-course meal on two butane burners, which is a challenge in itself. And then we had judges staring at you the entire time. We had the table set up in an L shape, and two of us were on one table and two were the other, and then we had an alternate. And we had to bring all of our supplies, our equipment, everything. And for that, we practiced, I think, almost 3 or 4 times a week for 4 or 5 months.
This was after school.
Yeah, after school, right. Practices. All February break, every single day. We had previous students from chef's class, like different years, come in and mentor us, which was a lot of fun. But it was a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication.
In that hour, what did you prepare then for them?
The appetizer was a warm crab cake salad with a honey lime vinaigrette, which is delicious. And then the main course was my job, and we made a chicken roulade with a sweet potato risotto and a tourneed zucchini. And then our dessert was a chocolate shell filled with chocolate mousse and whipped cream with a jelly-filled donut. Yeah, the practices were a lot of fun because we got to eat after. And we had to make one plate for the judges and then one for a presentation. So each course, we had to make two plates. So it was quite a bit of work, but it was incredible.
And then at the competitions, I guess you met students from all over the state. And
Yeah, it was an experience of a lifetime. We got to meet people from, like, Syracuse. We got to meet people from New York City, Buffalo, everywhere. It was pretty incredible. It was a lot of fun.
And did you feel a camaraderie with everybody at the same time as you were competing with them?
Yeah. And it was kind of nerve-wracking, though, because we were the third team to go on, I believe. So, of course, all the other teams who haven't gone on yet are looking at us, seeing what we're doing, and staring at us, which is a little pressure, but it was a lot of fun. And
what's the kind of the working and educational backgrounds in each of your families?
Both my parents went to college, not for culinary arts. I'd be the first in my family to attend any trade school. They just finished up general studies, I believe, at community colleges in Albany.
Mm-hmm. I know both my parents went to college, but I don't really know much about it. I mean, my dad was in the military, and my mom works at the hospital, so I don't know.
And how large a part does your dreams and aspirations around work kind of guide where you're going with your lives? Is it going to play the most important part in your lives, or are there other aspects that are pulling you kind of into your future, or how's that?
Well, I want to be successful for my family, just to make my dad and my mom proud. So that's a big pull. Plus, I want to make my chef proud. So all that combined is pretty, pushing me pretty far.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to see how far, like, I can push myself, like, how successful I can be. Because, I don't know, I want to make everybody proud. I want people to be happy.
Are you looking forward to summer coming up at the end of school, or are you going to miss it?
Yes and no. I'm going to miss Questar. But, I mean, I'm also going on to an incredible culinary school, so it's kind of bittersweet. They're polar opposites, so that's going to be interesting.
I'm looking forward to summer. I really am. I mean, I'm happy to get out of my high school. I'm going to miss here. I'm going to miss the people here and my classmates and everything. but I'm sure we'll keep in touch. And I'm excited to get out a little bit.
It's about all the teachers I've had. I met a woman long ago, her hair the black that black can go. Are you a teacher of the heart? Soft she answered, no. I met a girl across the sea, her hair the gold that gold can be. Are you a teacher of the heart? Yes, but not for thee. I knew a man who lost his mind in some lost place I had to find. Follow me, the wise man said, but he walked behind. I walked into a hospital where none was sick and none was well. When at night the nurses left, I could not walk at all. Morning came and then came noon. Dinner time, a scalpel blade laid beside my silver spoon. Some girls wander by mistake into the mess that scalpels make. Are you the teachers of my heart? We teach old hearts to break. One morning I woke up alone, the hospital and the nurses gone. Have I carved enough, my lord child? You are a bone. I ate and ate and ate, no, I did not miss a plate. Well, how much do these suppers cost? We'll take it out in hate. I spent my hatred every place, on every work, on every face. Someone gave me wishes and I wished for an embrace. Several girls embraced me, then I was embraced by men. Is my passion perfect? No, do it once again. I was handsome, I was strong, I knew the words of every song. Did my singing please you? No, the words you sang were wrong. Well, who is it whom I address? Who takes down what I confess? Are you the teachers of my heart? Chorus answered yes. Well, teachers, are my lessons done? I cannot do another one. They laughed and laughed and said, well, child, are your lessons done? Are your lessons done? Are your lessons done?
Thank you for listening to The Work Show. This month's music included The Great To Sir With Love by Lulu, Rockpile doing Teacher, Teacher, The Clash's alternate version of Career Opportunities off their ambitious Sandinista album, and finally, Leonard Cohen's Teachers off his first album. See you all next month in July for The Work Show.